Hello and welcome to All About Symbian Insight number 10 with me, Rafe Blanford.
Me, Ewan Spence.
Steve Litchfield.
And this week, as it's Insight number 10, reaching double figures, we've got a special guest. If he'd like to introduce himself.
Hello everybody, I'm Stefan from IntoMobile.com.
Thanks Stefan, and thank you very much for joining us this week. We're all big fans of IntoMobile, obviously. And I know in talking to you before setting up this Insight that you got a specific topic that we thought we might talk about. So would you like to go ahead and ask your question?
Sure. I was wondering, since E-Series and N-Series both use Series 60 software, I'm sorry, S60, Ewan, why is it that the experience on the both of those platforms aren't the same, and should it be?
Okay, thank you, Stefan. I'm assuming you're talking particularly from a software angle here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably worth just going through some of the software differences so that some of the listeners can remember them, because I know when you asked me this question, I had to think about it first. And I think the most obvious area is in sort of the multimedia capabilities, but I don't know if anyone else has got particular areas they'd like to chime in on.
I would say that they are basically standardized, certainly as in terms of using them as a smartphone for general stuff, day-to-day phone calls, logging, email, calendar, viewing pictures, even taking pictures, camera specs aside. They are basically the same. I agree that the main difference from my point of view, and I've got an E61i in front of me and a Nokia N95, and I love them both to bits, but I can't have both of them in one unit, at least not yet. Hint, hint. but the main difference is this thing of media codecs. And I know it sounds awfully techy to talk about codecs and under-the-hood stuff, but it makes a huge difference. It means that people can chuck a video at an N95 and it will play it. They'll chuck the same video at an E61 or E61i or E60, and it won't play or will play incredibly jerkily. And I think it is time that this was fixed. Nokia are addressing this with Feature Pack 1 of S60 3rd Edition. I have noticed that E90, for example, and E51 do cope a lot better in terms of the under-the-hood media codecs, but it's still not perfect. And I would expect this to improve during 2008 with new firmware releases and new E-Series devices. As to where the N-Series goes in terms of its convergence down in the E-direction, that's something we covered last week and something we'll see in the next couple of weeks at 3GSM.
And how about you, Ewan? Is there anything particular you notice?
The one that always gets me is the support for office documents. The E-Series, of course, has a different level of software than the N-Series had. The N-Series essentially has viewers. The E-Series has the all-up editing. And I think cheating isn't the wrong word. It just seems to me that when you spend so much money on a handset to go in and suddenly go, you need to pay another $10 for this that we've already advertised. Seems a bit indigenous. There's a proper word there that more letters in Scrabble, which I can't remember it. Yes, it's the same idea as shareware and trialware and everything. But you know, most people kind of expect to do Word documents. It was one of the first things picked up by people looking at the iPhone. Oh, where's the Office support? Office Doc support, and they're now trying to do enterprise versions, and they still don't have it. And I suppose part of it is because, you know, going back, oh God, here we go, into things like the Scion and Symbionos V1, we always had full Word spreadsheet, you know, even database, for example. Whereas now, you don't. You know, you choose a device that works for media, or you choose a device that works for Office. It's really hard to have one device that does both.
Yes, and how about you, Stefan? I'm sure there's something that prompted this question in your usage experience.
Well, there's one application in particular that I enjoy using on my N95, and that's the internet radio application. And
absolutely.
And that's an S60 application, but for some strange reason, it won't run on my E61, my E61i, and I plan to purchase an E90 or the E that's supposed to come out in the future. So I don't know why that is.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. And I actually think there's something else that particularly gets me, and it's the active idle screen and the differences you get on the N-Series and the E-Series.
Yes.
And so on the N-Series, you get music integration into the idle screen, which I really like because it's a great way to get back in. on the E-series, you tend to get more plugins, so you get stuff for emails, and it's more controllable as well. I'd particularly take note of this on the E51, where in fact all of the active idle plugins, if you like, if the entries you get in there are optional, so you can customize the active idle screen exactly as you would like, and that's something I'd really like to see on N-series. And having gone through this, I know that both Ewan and Steve have got something else to say first. So, Steve, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the point about the quick office and the editing and the viewing. I think this comes down to pure numbers. Now, the quick office are a company. They have X employees, and they have to make their royalties. They have. So when Nokia say, we want to license your software for adding into all our bazillion smartphones, they're going to have, say, whatever it is, $5 a unit or $3 a unit. But there will be something. And for the N-series devices to then go and sell 25 million devices a quarter or whatever it is, multiplied by $3 or $5 royalty per unit for the editing version, versus maybe $1 or $2 for a viewing version, that makes a colossal difference at the Nokia's bottom line. And to be honest, I can see their point. As an N95 8 gigabyte user for the last couple of months, I have updated the Quick Office to an editing version, but purely because I'm on good terms with the company and they gave it to me for free. But if I was a regular user, I would make do without, and I wouldn't miss it. I'd be able to view attachments that came in, and I'd make notes in the notes application, and I wouldn't miss on-device editing. To be honest. And if that's me, and you know Steve Litchfield, the ultimate E90 power user, a Nokia fan, if I'm saying that, then surely 99.5% of all N-series users are not going to expect office editing on their smartphone.
And Ewan, I know you wanted to come back about Lifeblog.
Yeah, it's you were going on about applications, and yet again, Lifeblog is just one of those ones that kind of sits there, and because it's not strictly on the device, and most of Lifeblog's work is done on the PC, it allows you to back up your photos, your videos, your text, and everything, and index them and interface with third-party blogs and website hosting sites. I completely forgot. Lifeblog runs on the N series, but not on the E series. And you know, literally, it's just an indexing application and a little line that goes into the sync section. Yet, you know, arbitrarily, and it's Nokia's own software. So Steve's argument on the quick office fees, while valid, isn't valid for Lifeblog. It purely is a marketing decision. Yet we still see E-series devices with video capabilities. We've seen that the camera, especially on the E90, is, you know, 95% as good as the 3-megapixel version of the N95. It just drives me up the wall that sometimes they just turn around and go, we've decided, and we can't tell you why, because we're not sure ourselves, that if you can't do this on this phone.
I think this is all going to improve dramatically this year because of Nokia's reorganization. Up to now, the N-series team, for example, have led the way in a particular thing, like Lifeblog. And so the programmers test it on the N-series devices. They even put the appropriate product codes into the software headers and the install files to make sure that they stay within the N-series environment, purely because that's the one they've been testing. And there hasn't been enough vision to widen it out to the whole that the numeric mobile phones in the E-series. Hopefully with this reorganization, surely the teams are actually going to talk to each other, test on each other's devices, and the whole thing will become much more amalgamated. I really hope so.
Okay, thanks guys. So what you've obviously come to a conclusion of some sort there, that you can't really explain this in any one way, but I think this still leaves us with something of a question about the assumptions that Nokia make in these devices, in that they seem to be very distinctly separated into working devices in enterprise and sort of consumer or entertainment devices in N-series. And while some of these we can explain, I'd agree with Steve on the quick office thing. It actually makes sense where possible. If you can do the software upgrade and pay for the premium feature, I don't have a problem with that, especially as with QuickOffice, it's built into the software itself. I would view that as no differently to Nokia Maps and paying for the premium upgrade. However, there does still seem to be this dichotomy, and the reality is people don't actually live and work like that. You don't, you know, work 24 hours a day, and you don't play 24 hours a day. So it seems to me that sometimes these devices could be better at actually reflecting the reality of the way people live their lives. And I don't really know why Nokia don't sort of take this on board a little more. I think there's signs of it, as Steve started to mention, with things like Mail for Exchange becoming available on N-series. But something as simple as the plug-in architecture of the active idle screen would be a good place to start, or indeed maybe having some kind of mode that separated office and work life, where you could switch your phone between the two, as you do with something like profiles. I don't know, do you guys, maybe Stefan could have a dig at this, there's anything particular that we would do to sort of improve this situation?
Well, for one thing, I would like to stop the separation between a phone for work and a phone for my private life. There should be just one phone that you have at all times. And it's really a shame that they don't advertise E-Series sort of like the E90, where it is very capable. It has GPS. It can play back films and take video and take very fine pictures. And then at the same thing with the N series, I don't think anyone knows that you can add Mail for Exchange on there, and that's really a problem with the marketing more than the software.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think a lot of this is just about the marketing of the devices, and I would agree in one sense it makes sense to keep them separate, because at the end of the day, you know, that makes it easy to sell things, and segmentizing a product does make a lot of sense. But yes, I mean, marketing is perhaps something Nokia could look at. Steve, I know you've got some input into this.
Yeah, just to respond very quickly to what Stefan just said, I'm just looking in on the N95 at the moment. In the download app on every single N95, on the home screen, almost the default icon is Mail for Exchange. So I don't actually buy what you guys are saying to the same degree. I think that there is this gradual encroach of the functions like Mail for Exchange into the N series. And as with Fishpack 1, some of the N series codecs and multimedia is making its way onto the E series. So I think these are all valid issues, but I think they're all going to be resolved in the next six to nine months.
Okay, that's fair enough. Although I would say with the Mail for Exchange stuff, having stuff in download is a bit late to be affecting purchase decisions. And I think a lot of people buy the device, you know, by looking at what's available in the marketing. And Stefan, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic that a user can go ahead and install it, but why isn't it installed on the phone itself? I mean, the N95 has 100 megabytes of user storage, and that application's quite small, so...
Yep, no, I'd agree with that. Just before we sort of move on from the topic, I'd just like to bring in the subject of S60 phones out of the mobile phone division, which actually, again, often have different applications to E-series and N-series, and what I want to bring it back to is we've talked about how we'd like to see some of this stuff, and we'll accept a certain amount of differences for marketing or for business reasons, but should S60 be looking to standardize more in terms of the applications on offer and the architecture, things like the active idle screen, or does it make more sense to actually have some differentiation given that we're talking about quite a broad range of phones? I mean, E-series and N-series are both tending towards high-end consumers, high-end devices. But if we're looking more towards the mid-tier, do we think Nokia should differentiate in the same way, or should they be looking to standardize? I mean, Stefan, do you have a take on that?
Absolutely. In the sense that when everybody made fun of Microsoft when they came out with Windows Vista and there were 20 separate versions of it, and everyone said, but with Apple, you have one version of Mac OS X. And if you start with that S60 powered phone from the mobile phones unit, which is probably cheaper than the others, if you have the same sort of interface and applications, and in the future you wish to upgrade to something like an N series or an E series, then you're already familiar with everything that you can possibly have on a phone. I don't understand why some applications are installed here and not there, and I completely agree that it should be the standard across all S60 phones, hopefully.
Ewan, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the first thing that's coming to my mind is Nokia will always have to have the ability to differentiate, purely because they have to give out handsets to Vodafone, to Orange, to T-Mobile, to Sprint, to Verizon, to Telefonica, to every network is going to want a special little flavor of that phone, even if it's, you know, a very basic, let's just add in our corporate logo, or whether it goes all the way up to the sort of depths that the Orange take it to, you know, rip out things that will cannibalize their mobile strategy, so things like SIP comes out, things like VoIP gets locked down. So Nokia will always have this ability purely because of the market that Nokia directly sells to, which is the network providers. And the network providers, you know, they don't care about S60. What they care about is tailoring a phone to a specific market demographic and keeping as much of their technical support costs, which can be up to 20, 25 euros per call, to push right down into it. And there is the fashion element as well, and Stefan and I have talked quite extensively about this over beer in the northern reaches of Finland, haven't we, Stefan?
Yeah, I agree that a lot of people will purchase a phone based purely on how it looks. The spec sheet isn't important at all. I want this phone because it's red, and I want that phone because it's brown, and that's it. So
we might have this conversation, but at the end of the day, it seems completely irrelevant. The only thing I'd like to come back on is... although it's all fine to have a standard thing, doesn't it make sense to have a sort of a simpler implementation for users who may not be looking to do quite so much? You might be overwhelmed by the complexity that you get as you add more and more stuff into E-Series. You're going to look at the active file and go, oh my God, there's like five entries in there already and I haven't even done anything to the phone. Whereas on a mobile phone, say the 6120, they just want the basic phone. So perhaps the question would be better, rather than having it... install, do we think that there should be different default setups for the phone, so N-Series sort of has everything switched on by default and mobile phone has a lot more switched off by default? I mean, we've already seen how Active Idle can be customized. Yep. So Stefan, do you have a thought on that?
I think what you said was great, that it's turned off out of the box and a user can turn it on. That's exactly how it should be. It should be the same software on all the phones, but make it optional so that the power users like Steve can have everything flipped on. And so somebody like my mom, hopefully, I would just turn on the contact book and that's it. So
something like the Nokia 770 tablet, which ran Series 90, actually did have, for want of a better description, intelligent menus. Speaking to some of the guys that did the programming behind that, a lot of the menu options were hidden under tiny more arrows, like you have in Windows just now. And as a user started to use extra functions, Moore's extra export file as Microsoft .docx, they would become more and more prevalent in the menu system. So it would actually build up the complexity of the menu as the user chose the features. That's very loose. What gets me is Nokia have that startup system in place. They already have the tutorial and the demo of a phone when you first switch it on. All it needs is a little flag up there going, are you Steve Litchfield?
True, very true.
For the review models, for the consumer ones, it would be, are you a bit of a geek or whatever?
Are you a bit thick?
I think you would have to start at a base and work up rather than start at the top and work down. I don't think that you're ever going to have a phone from Nokia that says, hoi, this option is for the thickos that can only cope with 9 icons in the home screen, and it's going to take 6 months before we let you add any of your own icons.
No, I think that's a fair point. Self-revealing UIs and all that sort of stuff is, I'm sure, something we all hope to see in future S60 phones. I think this is a topic we could go on and on about, but wanted to move this week's insight onto another thing. And last few weeks we've asked for some user contributions, and very kind. We've got a contribution from Andrew Curry, which I think you're able to play this back as live now.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Andrew from Toronto, Canada, a long-time listener, first-time audio commenter. In your last podcast, you asked for some listener feedback for ideas regarding future shows. Well, I've got one. I think it'd be kind of neat to do an informal poll of Symbian users around the world and find out what the Symbian experience is like in their hometown. I'll be happy to get the ball rolling if you like. Feel free to edit out the boring bits. So, just this morning, I was over at the SMS Text News website reading the first installment of a great series called Buying a Mobile Phone in America. Here in Canada, things are almost as bleak, but not quite, mostly because we've got a pretty healthy gray market for unlocked handsets here. And that's thanks in no small part to the Howard Chewy forums, for one, and also to the Pacific Mall, at least in Toronto. And Pacific Mall, if you didn't know, is the largest Chinese mall in North America. I would say at least half the stores there are devoted entirely to the sale of unlocked GSM gray market handsets. In terms of the devices you see people walking around day-to-day with and using, there's lots and lots of BlackBerries here. In fact, both my brothers and their wives each have one of their own. As for me, I've got an E61i that I love to death. In fact, the only thing it doesn't do is play Steve Litchfield's smartphone show without transcoding. But I suspect that's more to do with Mr. Litchfield's obvious and clear bias towards the N95, and I hope that ends soon. There's no iPhone here officially yet, but really, who cares? If you haven't guessed, I do blog smartphones myself, and if anyone's interested, you can visit my blog at acurie.wordpress.com. Thanks a lot for listening, and guys, keep up the great work.
In fact, I have to say that the fact that my smartphone show doesn't run on the E61 is nothing whatsoever to do with my like the N95. It's in fact to do with my nightmare, continuing nightmare, with trying to edit and process MP4 videos recorded on the Nokia N93. As you know, I like to shoot my show on a smartphone purely to show the power of what can be done with smartphones. So I've been using the N93 and N95 to produce the video. These MP4 video files, as with all digital video, all computer video, is incredibly complicated. And I do understand some of the basics in terms of all the myriad codecs, bit rates, resolutions. But I've had a nightmare with different PC editing software. I've tried Adobe Premiere Elements, which comes with the N93. I've tried Ulead Video Studio 10, PowerDirector 6 from Cyberlink. And I'm now on Pinnacle Studio 11. And even now I'm having some synchronization problems and having to juggle video between two or three different editing systems. So if anybody out there has got an absolute bomb-proof way of editing a smartphone shot MP4 video under Windows Vista, then I'd love to hear from you. Anyway, so I'm limited by what some of this software can put out, and currently I'm using Studio 11, which outputs bog-standard MP4 videos, and I'm surprised the E61 can't play it, to be honest. I'll have to do some experiments there, but I was using H.264 for a while, which is which produced from PowerDirector 6, and of course that is N95 only, and the N series, which uses the H.264 codec. But as we've just been talking about, hopefully these codecs will roll out into E-series devices. So hopefully the E61 and other future E-series devices will have no problems with my smartphone show. In terms of the guys, Andrew's question about where do people get smartphones from in this country, apart from the ones we obviously get loaned by Nokia and Sony Ericsson and Samsung, I think I probably go to Clove more often than anywhere else. Clove or Expanse, it's one of the big semi-family, fairly small companies that you can buy SIM-free unlocked devices from. Like Stefano, I'm a big believer in unlocked devices with no restrictions, no rebrandings, and you can update the firmwares at the moment they're released. And I'm prepared to pay the price because you don't lose the money. In a year's time, you get bored with it. You sell it on eBay for 70% of the money. You get most of the money back. So I think the SIM-free resale is for me.
Okay. You have some experience with the UK contract market. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about it, sort of answering Andrew's question, what it's like buying the Symbian phones in our part of the world. Obviously, in Canada, it's considerably trickier than it is here.
Yeah, I think the biggest the biggest issue is the time it takes for a Symbian device to actually get through from the manufacturer into that chain where you can buy it as a pay monthly contract phone. Companies such as Three and Orange have their own special firmware builds put together for them by all the manufacturers, Nokia, Sony Ericsson, Samsung and so on, and this takes a lot of time. So when you get these phones available on the pay monthly, they've already been out for a couple of months. Vodafone and O2 are usually a little bit quicker, but they're still not right up at the cutting edge. And this leads to ongoing problems. The main one is with firmware upgrades. These can be done over the air on SIM unlocked handsets. Users of the N81 will have got the latest versions through the firmware upgrade in the last 2 or 3 days. N81's purchased through the network. You're going to have to wait for the network to decide that they think that it's okay to go through. And that's typically can be anything from a week to 2 or 3 months behind in version numbers. The N95 on Orange is still back on like version 11 or 12, I think, when we're up to 15 or 16 in the actual firmware. So, yes, you do get a cheaper handset. It only goes for about 12 months here in the UK, and it's very easy to get a hold of. You can walk it up to pretty much any high street. But in terms from the people who are wanting a little bit more from their phone, you actually end up with a phone that's a little bit less than the sum of its parts.
Okay, that's interesting. The only sort of clarifying point I'll put in here is that the vast majority of people in the UK do buy their handsets on a contract because they want to get it for free or at a low price. And while obviously I think these issues matter for high-end users or people who are passionate about their phones, for most people it's less of an issue. However, it does rather inform our attitudes about how quickly things get updated, because at the end of the day it's the mass market and the numbers that matter to Nokia. So while we may talk about wanting firmware updates as quickly as possible and how we can use the latest technology, that doesn't always apply to everybody, and I think that's something to keep in mind. The other thing I just wanted to talk about briefly with regard to UK contracts is actually if you're loyal to an operator, you can't always get the phone you want, because in the UK some operators will only carry a select number of phones, and that means you generally can't get the full range of Nokia phones. So for example, something like the N95 8GB or the N95 will be nearly universal because it's seen as a premier handset, referred to as a hero handset by Orange and some of the other operators because it drives a lot of sales. Yeah, I know, it's very fun. Thank you, Ewan. But if you're looking to get one of the E-series devices, for example, that can actually be considerably trickier. For example, if you're on 3, until quite recently, it was difficult to get hold of, say, the E90, and you have to go through a third-party reseller. They actually did carry the E65 and the E61, but they told me that was because they considered them more to be consumer phones than enterprise phones, which just goes to show you there can be some artificial divisions. Steve, I know you've got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, just a pointer. It's very quite topical because Nokia released their quarter four results a couple of days ago, and I was very heartened to see that in quarter four, so that's last three months of last year, they sold something like 2 million E-series devices. Now, I'd have thought the numbers were much smaller because you don't tend to see these series devices in many high street shops. But this just redeemed my faith in Nokia's vision here and in the fact that the people who are the target market for these devices are people who are clued up enough to look beyond the high street. And I thought, yeah?
Yep, that's fair enough. So finally on the UK thing, Steve already mentioned there's a very strong SIM-free market and it's ones of Clove and Expanses, but the thing I found interesting is recently we're also starting to see that appear on the high streets, for example in Dixon's, which is an electronics retailer. And even more intriguingly, we're actually getting N-series kiosks appearing in certain airports. So I was going through Gatwick the other day and there's now an N-series kiosk in the South Terminal. It's actually part of the Dixon store, where you can go and buy the devices like the N95 and some of the old N series completely SIM-free. Now, I'm going to take shameless advantage of the fact we've got Stefan on the podcast. And if you don't know, Stefan's currently living in Finland, but he's come from the UK. So, Stefan, can you tell us what it's like in the Finnish market?
Well, the Finnish market is, how should I explain this? We don't have this separation between, I'm sorry, we have a fantastic separation between hardware and operator. You walk into any electronics store and the first thing you see when you walk in is a wall of phones. You point out the phone you want to try out and some kind gentleman will come and hand you a phone and you can play with it for about half an hour. After that, you purchase it, and that's it. In order to get service, you actually have to go to one of the operator's shops, and they're usually in a shopping mall. Usually, as for the phones everyone has here in Finland, if you don't have an N95, you have an E65. So that's pretty much it.
So S60 is doing pretty well on its home turf in terms of devices you just see in people's hands when you're out and about.
If you take out a Samsung, you will be kicked out of the country, yes.
Well, I know my experience in the UK is N-series devices and S60 devices are becoming a lot more common, but there's still the ubiquity of the sort of Sony Ericsson feature phones and a certain number of Samsung sliders. Given that you're virtually in another country, Ewan, what's your view from up in Scotland? What do you see on the high streets up there?
We see the dead bodies of English people who are a little bit too cheeky.
Right. And in terms of mobile phones?
It's pretty much the same compared to, the lovely metropoli that are Manchester, Birmingham, and London, where I have recent experience. It's it's mostly ruled by things like sort of independent shops, things like Carphone Warehouse, things like Phones for You, and they're invariably pushing either a Samsung or a Nokia.
I'll just add in that actually I take the train up to London quite frequently. I don't live in the metropolis, as Euron seems to believe, but I do get on a train which is full of commuters, and aside from quite a number of iPods being listened to, you also see an enormous number of BlackBerries with people hunched over in their seat typing away. But you are starting to see a few E-series devices appear. Steve, I know you've had some experience of seeing people with, it's hard to believe, I know, in the UK, but iPhones. So can you tell us about that and what you've seen?
In actual fact, I've only ever seen one iPhone.
I've seen an iPhone in the UK, though. That's big news.
I invited AAS reader Matt Radford to do a little spot on my last smartphone show to do iPhone tips, and he actually let slip the anecdote that he's never actually met a single other iPhone user in the whole country in the last 2 months of ownership, not one. So they are fairly rare around here. The phone I see most often, I guess, is the Nokia N95. I've been, I think I've mentioned this before in a podcast, I've been bowled over by the sheer number of people who own this, quote, flagship Nokia N series device. So it's obviously making huge inroads into the contract market, people buying through shops in the high street, even though, that, like we said, that's not the route I'd recommend. But yes, the numbers are big, and that's where people are buying.
Okay, so I think this is a really interesting topic, and we'd love to hear from other people on this about what their experience of buying a phone is elsewhere in the world, be it in the UK or anywhere else. And you can either send us an MP3 file with your voice, and we'll try and include it in a future podcast, or just send us an email and we'll talk about some of the responses we get. So I think it's interesting to see just the enormous amount of variation. We've talked about just three countries here, Canada, the UK and Finland. There's quite big differences between them. As ever, you can either email me, rafe@allaboutsymbian.com, or use the contact form on the website. As I say, we'll include them in the future podcast. I know we're getting towards the end of the podcast, but while we've got our special guest on board, I just want to take the advantage to do one more topic for this Insight number 10. And let's have a look at the software. And the thing I've got in mind to examine is YouTube software. And I know YouTube this week came out with a mobile client application written in Java for a number of phones, including several Nokia S6s. And Stefan, I know you've used this. So what did you think of YouTube Mobile?
Well, when I first installed it and ran it, I thought it was absolutely stunning. The user experience is fantastic. And then I played a video and I was absolutely disgusted. The quality is horrible. I would rather stick to MTube, which is a S60 application that's been out for a while now. But I'm really, really disappointed that the first time somebody will experience YouTube on a phone, it will look this bad. I mean, it seriously looks bad.
And did it have any redeeming features in terms of extra features you don't have in MTube?
You can upload video straight to YouTube with this application.
So
that's about it.
Even more pointless uploads to YouTube now are people running around with mobile phones.
And it's sort of not, obviously you can't do that with Shorzu anyway.
Yeah, so it'll be easier.
So I guess we're still fans of MTube here because of the quality. Just for the technical explanation for those who are interested, the YouTube application uses RealPlayer to do the streaming, uses the 3GP file format, which is a streaming video file format, and basically the resolution and the frame rate has been decreased, so you result in a much lower quality video, whereas the third-party client applications, one of which is MTube, actually uses the same web as is on the PC website. It takes the flash video from the site and plays it back directly on the phone. And of course, you can also store that video on the phone and play it back later. So I think probably the consensus here would be that we weren't terribly impressed with the YouTube application. But I also just wanted to get people's opinion on whether there's actually any point to doing this. I mean, why would you want to watch YouTube on your phone? I mean, it wastes enough time on the PC, and, you know, I'm not sure I'm really into watching YouTube videos in a great detail on my phone. So I suspect Ewan, who's one of these evangelists for new media, is going to correct me and tell me that I'm barking up completely the wrong tree. Am I being a bit grumpy about this, Ewan?
Yeah, I think you're being a bit grumpy about this. We're getting very close to the point, certainly Steve and I are, whereas back in my day, viewing habits are changing. I mean, even if you look at, you know, I remember, you know, the slick, speedy, fast Duran Duran videos you would get in the early 1980s. Classics like Rio, Hungry for the Wolf, and Wild Boys, and so on. And,
you're just playing up to Stefan now, aren't you?
I am, yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. Now that really rookie film with one of the Coreys in it. It was The Lost Boys, Stefan. And I remember at the time that they were really fast, well cut. You go back and look at them now, and they are incredibly pedestrian. Yeah, you look at a modern music video, this is where Stefan can pitch in and feel comfortable again, and well, to me, it's like watching A View to a Kill on Fast Forward, not the film, obviously, because it wouldn't make any difference to it. It would still be shit. But the idea of modern people who these handsets are aimed at, the 18 to 25-year-olds specific, sorry, 16 to 25-year-olds, are looking for very fast snacking culture. They're looking for short bursts of entertainment. That is why YouTube is such a success. That's why you see more and more shows that are condensed into, rather than an hour of television, they're condensed into 5-10 minute episodes, which all happen to run one after the other and have perfect breakpoints for adverts and YouTube length for when they get pirated up on that site. Viewing habits are changing, and I think in 5 or 6 years' time, nobody's going to think, oh, that's weird. You're just going to be watching the latest episode of whatever it is on your handset. YouTube, when it started, set this 10-minute limit, and people went, huh? But now the media fits that 10 minutes. So I think Chad's made a very good guess on what was going to happen to consumption habits in the future, and he got it right.
And yes, I think, Ray, if you're being a bit grumpy, I've had enormous fun with the MTube, and so has my daughter. And we've been looking up all sorts of things and watching it wherever we are in the house, wherever we are in the garden, or if we're out in town near a Wi-Fi hotspot, we just pull up any music video or little clip and have great fun with it. So I think you're just being a grumpy old man. And I should just point out before you close the show in a minute that a few corrections. You introduced Stefan earlier as being to Finland from the UK. Just in case people haven't spotted his accent, even from the UK. And also another correction, if people are looking up the Nokia 770 that you were mentioned earlier, it was actually the 7710, because I'm looking at a picture of it now in Google. There we go. Oh, that's me done for the show.
Okay, thanks, Steve, for those corrections. I do apologise to Stefan. I'll just get his thought on. I know you said to me you'd shown people NTube. What did they say to you after you showed it to them?
Well, actually, I've gotten a few people after I've shown them NTube, and they actually went ahead and purchased an S60 phone. So I think that says a lot about the power of YouTube with my generation. I know that I start my day and I end my day on YouTube.com, either on my phone or on my computer. So that's a really big feature.
Okay, thank you, Stefan. And in case people haven't worked out, I was being perhaps a bit more of a grumpy old man than I usually am, because unfortunately I would also admit to something of a YouTube addiction, just like the rest of the guys here. And I spend, well, let's say I waste far too much time watching things when I should be otherwise working, as it is the great procrastination tool, as is most of the rest of the internet. Thank you very much for listening to this week's Insight, and thank you very much to the usual guys, Steve and Ewan. I know they've did a good job last week in my absence, and I'd like to say a special thank you to Stefan from Into My... And I'd like to say a special thank you to Stefan from IntoMobile.com, who is not from the UK. He is, in fact, lives in the US and has roots elsewhere, but he is now living in Finland, and he is one of the Nokia gurus, and I'm sure lots of people have read his stuff. And thank you very much for coming on the show, Stefan.
No problem. It was a pleasure to be here.
And it's goodbye from me, Rafe Blanford.
And it's goodbye from me, Ewan Spence.
And Steve Litchfield.
And Stefan.
Bye, guys. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.